Okay. I want to kind of finish up what we were doing yesterday. If we have time, we'll start also the next kasha, the Gemara related to Mecha'a. We certainly won't finish that. First thing, we'll finish that today, but if we get through that even tomorrow, then maybe by the end of the week we'll finish up the whole Chayusha and move on to the next approach that the Gemara has. So there are two points that I just want to make sure are clear in our discussion from yesterday. So again, the Gemara is continuing the same line of reasoning that it has said from the beginning, since from when the Gemara started, right? The whole Gemara wants to know how we know Cheskas Gimel Shana, right? Because the reality is that it's, when you see the Mishnah, other than the fact that we're sort of familiar with the concept, it's kind of pulled out of a hat, right? It's very random. Where did such a concept come from? So the Hochei Usha suggested that it comes from Shor HaMuad. The Gemara, in order to test the theory of the Hochei Usha, is going to push it to the max. And any detail which exists by Shor HaMuad should now carry over to Cheskas Gimel Shanim. You'll say, but why are we taking it so seriously, right? It's just a takana. We don't know what it is yet, right? We've gone through some of the background, but the truth is a lot of what we've discussed in the Rishonim might be at the end of the sugya. As the sugya is still developing, we have no reason to believe, just based on what Hochei Usha said, that this is not a real din, and that this is not a real a drasha gemura, a full-fledged drasha. And therefore, that's why the Gemara is going to explore based on other halachos that we know. So the kasha that the Gemara asked yesterday is if it's true that we learned it out from Shor HaMuad, then we should say that a chazaka she'eini mataina is considered to be a valid chazaka. That a chazaka which is not accompanied by a defense, by an explanation as to why it is in the reshus of the machzik, it should be a valid taina. Why should it be a valid taina? So on the surface, it should be a valid taina because by Shor HaMuad, right, there's no taina that is being presented by anybody. It happens immediately. It happens immediately, and yet we know that Kol Chazaka Sheini Mataima is not a good chazaka. And right away, the Rishonim tried to figure out what exactly is the Gemara. Does the Gemara want? Right? Even if you want to say, okay, the Havamina, we're taking it very seriously, it still has to make sense. And unless you're going to say that it's a Kinyan, that would be the easiest way to make it make sense. But the Rishonim don't want to say that without saying that it's a Kinyan. So you're left figuring out, so what does the Makshin mean? What would it mean for a chazaka to be a valid chazaka if it's not a chazaka she'eini ma taina? So there were two different major approaches. Again, there were nuances within those approaches, but there were two different approaches, and it really depended on what the limud is from Shor HaMuad. Because depending on what you learn out from Shor HaMuad, that is going to dictate what the carryover is. So Tosfos l'shitasam, right? We saw Tosfos in the bottom of Amud Aleph, and then we saw again the Tosfos on the top of Amud Beis. Tosfos assumes that the limud from Shor HaMuad is that there is a proof, right? There is a hochacha from the shtika sabaylim, from the fact that the owner has not said anything. That in and of itself is proof that he must have sold it. To him. If that is the case, so then the Gemara wants to know if it's enough proof, right, that the Hanhaga is going to continue, right, that he's going to remain silent, and therefore it must be that if he's going to remain silent, it must be that he sold it to him, otherwise why is he going to be quiet, right? So then the same thing should be true here. We should say that automatically it's going to, even without a taina, it should belong to the masik because he must have sold it to him. Or it, or somehow it must have been his. So Tosfos suggests maybe he gave it to, maybe it's a mechila. Some of the Achronim point out, again, just in response to the kasha that the other Rishonim said, what does a mechila mean by karka? A mechila doesn't always mean literally mechila. It means he gave it over to him. Maybe it was a matana, maybe it was a gift. It was something, again, which the mafzik might not even know about. He might know that he's being mafzik in it, but we have a certain defense to the fact that it is his, just from the shtikas, habaylim, and therefore he does not need a taina. We are going to provide the taina for him. Yeah.
Just a general question: when, let's say, Reuven comes and complains that Shimon stole his land, is he complaining? Is he like claiming that Shimon stole the land, or that he was on the land and now he wants to get them off?
The way that, again, we'll see more as we go on, but the way that it was presented, even in, certainly in some of the Rishonim here, but in Rashi, didn't Rashi explicitly that he's a ganav? Yeah, Rashi in Taima Mai, it's the second half of this, but it's in that Gemara. Right, time of mine. Rinshal shenam afke lecheskas marakama darmi and dilma kedukamar iu zelmer lekachti yamimcha. This one says he purchased it from you. Who is that? That's referring to the machzik. The Zomer goes out on me, many. You stole it from me. Yeah, the assumption is that it's more or less he's stealing it. Right? I don't want you here. You shouldn't be here. Does he have to pay him back? All those things are going to come up in the Gemara. All the details, the Gemara is on top of everything. Because right now we are ensconced in this sugyo, just trying to understand the drasha and where it all comes from. All the details are going to be fleshed out. You'll see, even from the Mar Mokum that talks about Mechash, Lo Befanu, which was today, it says Dafa Meches. We've got a lot between now and La Meches. But again, all these details are going to be spoken for. So again, approach number one is the approach of Tosfos, that the Lima for sure Hamuad is about the Hanhaga, the conduct of the Bailim. Therefore, it's going to continue, and that creates a raya that he must have sold it to him. That he must have sold it to him. And therefore, in the kasha of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, chazaka sheini mataina, should be a good chazaka, it's not that we don't, that doesn't have to be an explanation, but it's that we will provide the explanation. Tanina mai, we'll say, he gave it to him as a gift, something happened, because the raya of the shtika is too strong. Right, the shtika is too strong. Right, that was the first approach. The other approach, which was more prominent in Rashi and in the Ramban, right, is that the drasha from Shor Hamuad is that there is a certain. Disconnect that exists between the Marakama and the land, once 3 years have passed and you have not said anything, and the karka therefore went from the chezkas, if you're looking just at chazakos, it went from the chazaka of the mocher to the chazaka of the lokeach. And if it's in the chazaka of the lokeach, and we're asking that a chazaka she'eni mataina should be a chazaka, then basically what we're saying is once the mocher, once it leaves the rishus of the mocher, why does he need a taina to defend? Meaning, the rayas now should be on the onus should shift to the mocher. And before, the onus was on the machzik because the mocher had his chazaka that he was there before him. But that perception of him being the owner was before. Again, Shoram would told us that now it's a different perspective. Now the muchzuk, not the owner necessarily, but the muchzuk is the machzik. And therefore, if you want to move him out, you have to prove something. So chazaka she'eni mataina would say that the chazaka in Yonatan should be a good chazaka, because now the taina has to come from the other person. So again, not that we know 100% that it belongs to you, but at least now you are in position. Those are the two, again, like the lashon that was the Ran, one of the Rishonim used, like you're no different than Echem and Ashuk. Right? You lose that connection of being a Marakama. And to
the,
yeah.
I have a question on the whole, you know, I'm finishing the last.
On the whole.
Yeah.
Parent. Okay, well, yeah, I mean, I'm just done with this. And then again, so those are the two different, and again, those are both the Shitasam, right? Because the only Rishon that we really saw, or one of the only Rishonim that discussed this Huchzak Shaskin type of idea, was really Tosfos. Rashi didn't mention it, and the Ramban explicitly did not go in that direction earlier. So again, how you explain this, and this is the main point I just want to make sure is clear today, how you explain each kasha is going to be based on how you understood the Ikar Drasha. The Ikar Drasha, according to Tosfos, had to do with the conduct of the Ma'arer going forward. The Ikar Drasha, according, and that's what we learned out from Shor HaMuad, was that just like this conduct happened three times, it is likely to repeat itself. When it comes to the Ramban, his understanding is that the shift from the Tam to Muad takes place after three times, and that reflects something about the nature, what must have happened, the way this shore must have always been, and therefore, the fact that a guy is quiet for 3 years and doesn't say anything, that reflects that it's more likely that the machzik is the owner. And therefore, the machzik is now on stronger ground than the muchzik. The answer to the Gemara, though, is that, yeah, it's true that there is a disconnect, but we still have conflicting chazakos. Meaning, the Marakama is weakened by the fact that he hasn't said anything. But there is no reason that should make it the possession of the machzik. Right? The reason is, so we don't know who to believe, and therefore we still say that if you want to, that without a taina, without, again, you don't have to prove it. We're not asking him to prove it. We're asking him merely to explain it. Without being able to explain it, that is a reyesa in your chazaka. Right? So again, we might have thought that the chazakos, right, if we have the ma'arer on one side and the machzik on the other side, we might have said that the fact that the machzik has already been here, right, has already been here for 3 years, that gives him greater strength. But when he can't, if he can't, right, without a taina, then this, he loses that. Not enough, right? He loses the greater strength. If he loses the greater strength, what do we revert back to? That there's also this marakama. There's also the marakama. Yes, it's the marakama as a reisa, because, right, why didn't he say anything? Right, that's his reyesa, but the reyesa of not being able to just explain how you got there is a greater reyesa, and therefore, if we are left with chazaka without a taina, we are left with chazaka without a taina, we will not move it, because it's not a kinyan, it's not, and that's what the Gemara says in the end. It's not a kinyan, and you need something to support it. And again, since this does not even require edim. All it requires is just saying the words. How did I get it? Explaining yourself? If he can't do that, that is a knock on the machzik. And now they're even again. And when they're even, what wins? The marakama. The marakama. So again, even though the marakama has the chisaron, why was he quiet for so long? It's going to be stronger than the reisa of the machzik who can't present any taina. Yeah.
So I understand that the squad and Mossick, if he doesn't have a Raisa, then he can't, and he's there for 3 years. So then if he doesn't have a Tikkun, right, he gets kicked out. Yeah, if he doesn't have a Tikkun on it, then he gets kicked out, right? Because he doesn't need to have a Tikkun with it. So what if he's there for let's just give him 10 years, and he doesn't have a Tikkun, he gets kicked out also?
Look, yes. Again, we'll get all these. Different permutations will come to the Gemara, but on the surface, there's no reason to be makala.
So my question is like, let's say, you know, you live in your land, right? And you have no idea, like, you just always been there, like you were born there, your parents died.
You're a Yoresh.
But yeah,
we'll talk about it later today. Okay. We know. If we don't, then remind me. It will come up in the Ketubos. It will come up in the Ketubos. It's an important point. It is an important point. What Kevin, I think, is trying to get at is sometimes not being able to explain how you got there is not a reis, right? Because you're not supposed to know how you got there. Right? It's not a normal thing. I got there because my tati was there and my zeda was there. Now maybe they were all being mazli. So you're right. If all this logic is true, then if this is not a reisa, then he should win. Okay, so we'll get there. Yes.
On the whole premise that there should be no taina, like there was no taina jarmud. What's the halacha mean that there would ever be a taina when it comes to jarmud? It's not
taina.
Taina
is a fig.
Yeah, sorry. Why would there ever be one when it comes to a shormud? Because then what would be the claim that he does need to have?
Enochanami. Right. Whenever you're drawing a comparison between two things that are not 100% comparable, you have to figure out which details are superfluous ones, and you know they happen to exist by one, they don't happen to exist by the other, and therefore we can ignore it, and which ones are fundamental ones. The point that the Gemara is suggesting right now is you might have said, well, there's a taina, only a taina, again, to make sure that Ruben's question is clear, right? It's not shayich to talk about a taina when it comes to a shor hamuad, right? Who are you talking to? The ox is going to explain. I woke up this morning, they gave me bad feet, I wasn't in a good mood, so I roared. It doesn't make any sense, right? I thought he took something from me. There's no tainus to be made. So how can we even compare the two? So the answer is going to be is that in the Hava Amina of the Gemara is saying, but that is such a critical element, right? That if the taina defines, defines the Chezkas Gimel Shalem, then maybe the limud is bad. Because it's too different. It's too different. So you're right. Because again, one's talking about a short, one's talking about a person, isn't that? There are differences. The question is how big a difference. The Gemara and the Kasha is suggesting that this difference is, I can understand, since I can understand Chazaka without that Taina, and that would make them very similar, so maybe it makes more sense to assume that the taina is no different than saying that this one happens to be a shor and this one happens to be a person. It's not an important detail. The Gemara in the answer is saying, no, it is an important detail.
Wouldn't another way to look at the question is, what would be the source for the taina? If it's not charmud, it can't be. And even such a fundamental thing.
I think what the Gemara is saying is that if it's that fundamental, there can't be that there's another source. It would have to be from this. Meaning, that would just undermine Sharma being a good source. It would not be a good source. Yes, Ailey?
So, I guess, how many different ways, are there any alternative ways to giving a tenant that aren't just verbal? Like, if you left a note at your front door that said, this is mine.
Maybe, we'll have to see. We'll have to see, again, what qualifies it. But let's assume that here, Chazaka She'ini Mataina means there is no Taino. You're not explaining. Nothing at all. Yeah.
Just what we put on the board, that's according to
this would certainly be according to the Ramban and all of those Rishonim. Whether this is also the answer, exactly what the answer is according to Tosos, might not be as clear. This is certainly according to them. It might be true according to Tosos also. I mean, you might say according to Tosos that we're going to Taninanle, right? When are we going to say a Taina? When we presume that there is some sort of mechila that was in the kasha, and the answer that you are saying no to go out and make, again, it's a little different than this. This is much more according to the Ramban and the majority of the Rishonim.
So when we said there that it would go back to the Marakama because of the reisa and the lack of tana.
Yeah.
That's only if the Marakama protests at that point. Or where does that?
Yeah, well, that's going to be true throughout. Until somebody protests after the 3 years, the mosque is just going to sit pretty. So yeah, it's enochanami. Good. Oh. So all of that, more or less, is what we said yesterday. Is what we said again. Is a little bit, I guess, of a summary of what we said yesterday. Again, in Tosos, it could just be the answer is that an implied mechila is too much to learn out from Shor HaMuad, and we're not willing to say that, and that's the answer of the Gemara. Oh. But there's an interesting point that Rabbeinu Yonah makes over here that I think is worth thinking about. So if you look at Rabbeinu Yonah says like this. It's actually in the answer. So let's just see the answer back in the Gemara again. So how does the Gemara answer this? Time am I, right? What's the reason that Chazaka Shana Tanya is not a Chazaka? Damrina Dilmuk of the Gemara Hashta. Maybe what he's like saying now is what's true. And Iulo Toyna, don't lie. If he can't make the Tanya himself, why should we make the Tanya for him? Why should we make the Tanya for him? Just all he needs to do is explain himself. And we're not asking for a riot. We're not asking for so much. Oh. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Uparkin on time, am I Damrina Dilmuk of the Gemara? You, Dilmuk of the Gemara. We don't learn now from Shur Hamuad. What is the Ikar Limud from Shur Hamuad? The Ikar Limud of Shur Hamuad is that a Chazaka can replace the Raya for what you are doing. Why? The Keva de Shaycha Bataina. Because without him, that since there should be a taina that is made, the chazaka needs a taina. Lefichach, therefore, in other words, I think what Rabbeinu Yonah just said is what we were saying over here, right? If he does not make a taina, that's a reisa. He could make a taina, so we're not going to get up and say the taina on his behalf. And therefore, it reverts back to the Marakama. So everything that we have been talking about until now is talking about karka. It's talking about land, because that's what the Cheskas Kilmashanim Bi'ikaron is going on. And this, that we don't say the same thing by metaltalim, by movable objects. Right? We don't say that that my laptop, in order for you to be a maslik, has to be in your rishus for 3 years. We don't have this concept. Right? Rather, we assume that if you are using something, you're holding on to it. Tafus is grabbing. Right? It's in your possession. So a computer that is in your possession, we assume belongs to you. Even if you don't make a taina. My question is, why not? Why should that be the case? Now, before we see what he says, just think about it for a second. Right? We have karka on one side, we have karka over here, and metaltalim over here. Right? And we have the exact same issues, right? We have a mafzik, and we have a mafzik. We have a ma'arer, and we have a ma'arer, right? We have somebody who's holding on to it right now, and we have somebody who's saying, it belongs to me, right? Otherwise, the case doesn't get off the ground, right? So obviously, if we want to keep things parallel, the character is a mafzik, the ma'arer, and the metaltalim does not. So now, I have to respond to the mafzik. So if it's true that there are two steps in a response, right? If the pshat in Chezkas Gimel Shanim is that I need to do two things. I need to, one, have a taina, which means I need to explain how did it get into my hands. The second thing is I have to back up the taina with a raya. I have to prove that it is mine. So the answer of the, so what happens when you have a mafzik and he's been in the field for 3 years and nobody has said anything. So as long as he explains how it got there, right? The raya is the Chezkas Gimel Shanim, right? Oh. So now if we just bring everything over to the metaltalim side, look over, you need the same things. Right? If I am saying, why are you holding on to my computer? Right? You took it from me. So the Ora, what you have to now do is you have to make a taina, and you have to explain, no, that it's mine. Then you need a raya. You need to prove it. Now, how do I prove it by metaltalim? That's the chiddush. The chiddush is that for metaltalim, Right? Holding on to the object is proof of ownership. And I don't need chezkas gimel. Right? But look, so look ora, I should need a taina. Right? Why do I not need to explain how it got into my rishus? The difference should be here. Right? This should be the difference. That what my raya is going to be, that here the raya is chezkas gimel, and here the raya is tfisa. Right? Because why? Because we have a ruach hazaka, koma shetachas yad adam shelo, belongs to him. But l'chora, it is pashut. Right? L'chora, it is pashut that I have to respond to the ma'arer. Right? Even by the doctrine, I should have need a, I maybe need the chazaka, but I need the time to part. So the same way that I need a chazaka, sheyeshim a taina, by metaltalim, I need the same thing when it comes, by karka, I need the same thing by metaltalim. What the chazaka is going to be different. By karka, the chazaka is gimel shanim, that's by raya. By metaltalim, it should be the fact that it's in my hand, gives me stronger ground. So look, ora, it should be pashut. Before we see the condition of Rabbeinu Yonah, it says, it should be pashut that if I am holding on to a movable object and you are claiming that it is yours, I don't have to prove it, but I have to explain it's not yours. I bought it from you. I bought it in the store. Whatever the explanation is, I or have to explain it, right? That should be pashut. Yeah, Yitz?
Wouldn't a metaltalim all the more so need a raya? Because it's a lot easier.
It's easier and it's harder. It's easier to grab it from somebody else. On the other hand, it's very normal that metaltalin changes hands very quickly. So your cheskas marakama is weaker. Right? The fact that this thing once belonged to me by metaltalin, because metaltalin moves so quickly, is not as strong a rai. So it goes both ways. But look, already it is pasha that you need to tie it by metaltalin. Right? Just line everything up. Rabbeinu Yonah takes it as a dover pashut that you do not need a taina. Right? With what he says. V'ha delo amru haki b'metaltalim, and this that we don't say this way about metaltalim, don't say what way. Elarei mechezkas atofus bohem. Rather, we assume that it belongs when it's holding it. Atofi she'ein im hatfisa taina. Even though the tfisa, which is number two, that's the raya, is not accompanied by a taina. And yet by metaltalim, that is good enough. Why is that true? So again, to Rabbeinu Yonah, it is pashut. It is pashut that what I wrote here is wrong. Again, I just tried to line everything up. Rabbeinu Yonah says that a metaltalim do not need a taina. The fact that I'm holding it alone, that is proof enough. Why would that be? L'chora, my chart is very, very good. Right? What am I missing? It says Rabbeinu Yonah, Hasam, L'fi shekvar yatzu mereshus harishon, sharei ze tafas bohem. So Rabbeinu Yonah says that there are two reasons why by metaltalin, the holding onto it is so strong that I don't even need to explain it. Reason number one, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is because as soon as the second person is holding onto it, there's no connection to the first guy anymore. Meaning, basically, there's no such thing as a marakama when it comes to metaltalin. Why would that be? That's what I was sort of saying to you beforehand. Yeah? Because they're meant to move around. A piece of land doesn't go anywhere. So the fact that I own it, my ownership is deeply connected to this land. I might sell it, but the land is still here. Whether you buy this hole and I buy this hole, metaphorically changes hands all the time. You go to the store and things are moving all the time. And therefore, what Rabbeinu Yonah seems to say is that there is no, that the Cheskas Marakama doesn't exist. And if the Cheskas Marakama doesn't exist, so then what comes out? That the person who's holding it right now he's the presumed owner. If he is the presumed owner, it doesn't mean the ma'arer has no chance, but it means that the burden of proof is on the ma'arer. Because if we would say that metaltalin requires a taina, what happens if he doesn't have a taina?
He
has to give it back. But the only smart have to give it back is if the cheskas markama is strong. Otherwise, why are we taking even this? We don't know what to do. We throw up our hands. I'm not sure. Does it belong to the guy who's paying me originally? Does it belong to the guy who can't explain how he got it? I don't know. But when it comes, so why are we taking even one and giving it to the other? It has to be there's some sort of strong relationship with the object if we're going to move it around. That does not exist by metaltalin, says Rabbeinu Yonah. And therefore, even if he can't explain it, even if he can't explain it, we give it to him, and the ma'arer has to prove, the burden of proof is on the ma'arer, that it says.
So the only difference between the mafsik and the metaltalin is that it moves more frequently.
And because of that, the relationship of the marakama is much stronger. So again, there's nothing wrong about my chart. But what's wrong about my chart is that the default of the requirements of this chart is that the chazak of the marakama is strong. And you have to overcome that. And that, he's saying, Talton is not true. Then he adds on another reason. Now whether there are really two reasons or not two reasons, I'm not sure. V'odachzuke inshi began ve'lo mechazkinan. I'm not sure if this is an extra explanation to reason number one or if it's a separate reason that stands on its own. You could probably read it in both ways. But he says like this. We have to be able to explain to ourselves, at least, us, let's call us the Beis Din, right? What's the pshat in this guy holding on to it? What's the pshat in this guy holding on to the object? So when it comes to land, and he can't explain how he's there, and we know there's a marakama, so we have two options. Either he's there with permission, or he's stealing. Right? Again, if we're not going to entertain owner as an option. The only two other explanations is that he's there with permission, or he is stealing. When it comes to land, it is not a difficult assumption that a person might be using land and be renting it, be borrowing it, something like that. Because that happens all the time. However, when it comes to metaltalin, those aren't the kinds of things that you usually rent out. You know, maybe a car you rent out. Right? Usually it's the owner who's using it. If somebody's using their laptop in class, you don't assume that they're borrowing somebody else's. It might happen occasionally. But that's not the normal. And therefore, if we want to assume that he is there and he is using it and he does not own it, the only conclusion we're left coming to is that he is a thief. A thief. And Beis Din does not like to assume that people steal. We like to assume that there's a cheskas kashus on people. Right? If we know otherwise, that changes things. But if we don't know otherwise, there's a cheskas kashus that we assume that this person is not a ganav. And therefore, if we would assume that, if without a taina, we would assume, if we would require a taina, and he can't produce a taina, we would be stuck assuming that he is a ganav, and we don't want to, we have no reason to assume that, again, because he fundamentally has a cheskas kashus, because it is illogical to assume that he just borrowed it. Yeah.
Once the claim of Ma'ar is that he is a thief, then how could the Beis Din go ahead and say, no, you're not, he's not, though?
Because we have no reason to believe that he's a thief.
I don't know if
that's the reason why the strength of the Marakama is weakened, is because, you know, the easiest interpretation of the fact is that he's an owner, and therefore that weakens the Cheskas Marakama, or if he's saying two reasons. I'm not 100% sure.
This kind of falls into like a shabbos sevidim, right? Because like, let's say I find something on the floor and I'm using it, and then someone comes along and says, "Oh, that's mine." You know what I mean? It's not. I found it, but doesn't he? Then you need to prove that it's his, right?
Yeah, but then there we're all agreeing on the facts. Meaning you're admitting that you found it. And you're just trying to figure out how you prove it. But here we don't even have that.
We don't even have what?
We don't even have him saying that it was that it was found, right?
No, I'm saying that I'm not saying anything though here. No.
Right. So therefore, we don't assume that he found it. I mean, that doesn't happen. That again, we have to go with what's normal. The simplest, right? The simplest understanding is ownership. Simplest understanding is ownership. Bah. So that's the pshat. That's the pshat of Rabbeinu Yonah. So again, the chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah, maybe it's not a chiddush, but what Rabbeinu Yonah teaches us is that by metaltalin, a chazaka does not require a taina. With that, let's look at the ketzos. Let's look at the ketzos. I think somebody posted the ketzos. Let's take a look. Where are we? Here we go. Okay. So again, the Ketzos HaChoshen, right? Why is he called the Ketzos HaChoshen? Choshen Mishpat. He comments on Choshen Mishpat. Ketzos HaChoshen, the edges, he's on the side, he's a commentary, and it obviously comes from this week's Parsha and the coming Parshios about the Big Day Kahuna and the Mishkan. So when you have a publication, which is, again, in a regular Shulchan Aruch, you'll have the Shulchan Aruch and the Notes to Kalim, and then in little letters somewhere, you'll have the Ketzos. And the books that are labeled Ketzos, the only perish that you'll have around the side is the Ketzos. In the middle, you still have the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch says like this. We're in Simin Kuf Lamed Gimel, and so we're in the middle of the page right now. Sif Aleph. We're talking about Hilchas Chezkas Metaltalin. The halachos of Chezkas Metaltalin. Exactly our topic. Right? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Kol Dover HaMetaltal, anything that is movable, Shehu biyad ha'adam, and it is in a person's hand, b'chezkas shehu shalom. Aleph, number one. We assume that something which is in your hand belongs to you. That is the simplest interpretation of reality. Somebody may come along and claim it belongs to me. Afilu im yavo ha'ma'arir edim. Shu shalom. Even if the ma'arer brings witnesses and says it's not yours, it's mine. V'omer la muchzak, and he says to the muchzak, I can explain to you how it got into your hands. Hivkaretiv lecha, uishaltiv lecha. And he tells the muchzak that I gave it to you to watch for me, or I lent it to you. He is believed that the muksuk is believed to taina with the counter taina. Oh. So what did Shulchan Aruch just say? He did seem to say that you need a taina, but it was also in a very specific case of, again, that the Arab brought Aden to substantiate, which again is what we've assumed throughout. But the Shulchan Aruch seems to assume that you do need to have a taina even by metaltalin. Right?
Yeah, I'm just curious, in this situation, how on earth would this be Aden saying that, like, it's not actually yours? How would you ever get your object back if you lent it to somebody?
What do you mean?
He's saying that if you bring Aiden saying that you actually own it,
right?
Well, how could that not? I mean, so if someone ever took your object, how could you ever make the claim that it's actually mine?
Meaning, somebody who wants to steal can easily steal.
Yeah, and even if I have Aiden,
yeah, it's much easier to steal metaltalin.
There's no way to ever get back your objects from the court of law.
I mean, he has to. He's going to have to swear. So again, I think we assume that most people don't want to lie and swear.
Why wouldn't Aiden be admittable here? Is Aiden like the number one type of proof?
It is, but
I find like a massive fish is shocking that.
No, but can I ask you a question? Just I don't want to get sidetracked this, so I want to finish, because let's say this. The Aiden say that I gave it to you on Tu B'Shvat. Right? So on Tu B'Shvat, we have Edim that he gave it as a pikadon. Now the guy is claiming that he purchased it on Lamed Shvat. And he swears to that. Is he saying that the Edom are lying?
He swears?
The Shichar continues that he has to swear to defend himself. Shavuos has to
swear. Okay, that's a big proof.
Yeah. But you understand, but even if he didn't have to swear, he's not contradicting the Edom.
He's not, but the point is that he has to bring a proof that it actually was purchased. Ashtar,
No, but that's exactly the point, is that you don't have those things. How often do you hold on to your receipt after you purchase Metatzel? I don't even take my receipt.
Yeah.
But it's not a normal expectation by Metatzel. So yes, when you're giving your Metatzel to people, you're at risk. You are at more of a risk.
Would you bump me to the other side and just... Except we're at a risk if you're getting the
again, so you try to lend to somebody who's trustworthy. Again, all this, that yes, a person could be a gun.
Yeah.
We don't assume that's what the Benyon was about. We don't assume that people are Ganaga.
Yeah.
Oh. So it says, but again, it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch that you do require a Taina. Says the Ktsais, V'nir adim haya b'yad kata motziya nimenu kol sheyesh edim shaya shelo afilu b'dvarim she'ein asuyin l'hashkir u'l'hashkir. Says the Ktos something interesting. What if the person who's the muchzak of the metaltalim is a katan? So what's the status of a katan? So he says, as long as the ma'arer can bring edim, so in this case, that it was once his, then the tfisa of the katan does not help. Kamoshigasa Rambam Perakigimel Toin Halacha Beis. You have people who don't have das. The fact that they are using something is not a raya. Why?
I never could have bought in the first place.
We have to see. That's not so simple. Right? Sometimes they can buy but can't sell. So sometimes they can. So again, the Rambam there is talking not about metaltalin, he's talking about karka. But he says that the achila, the katan, right, if he's a machzik, it's not good enough because he does not have a taina. He does not have a taina. The ayin shem shekazi rabbi magid, look over there that the magid Mishnah writes, she'ein daitolomer, he's not trying to say she'ein lem tzad kinyan, that there's no possibility that he acquired it. The values them, they have some ways that they can acquire it. If you show the Yeshua Zechiyah Mzichel, if somebody did it on his behalf for him, he does acquire it. El lefi she'ein tanos and gishar b'nei adam in mecha megach diver Torah. Since they don't have the normal ways of making tainos, like other people do, chaser Rabbeinu she'ein ches kasen raya, their chazaka is not a raya. V'chein kasa b'shogar arasim kuf mehim tes, lecher shetakot ha'in ha'chasen raya, mizen nireh, oh, do I did be metaltalin? So again, that case that the Rambam was talking about karka, says the Ktsos, right? We wouldn't need the Ktsos, so he was just quoting the Rambam. But now the Ktsos says we can extend what the Rambam says. And once we see that their achila is not going to be good by the karka, why? Because they don't have the ability to make a taina, says the Ktsos. And the same thing is during metaltalin. Dimetaltalin nami taina boy. Since metaltalin requires a taina, fable kimocha zoka she'eni mataina. A katan who makes a taina on metaltalin loses because his taina is not a taina and because metaltalin requires a taina.
Well, they don't need a taina for metaltalin.
That was what Rabbeinu Yonah said. Right? So yeah, very good. So said over here, all of this that we said that you don't need one was in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah. It is a machlokas rishonah now, you see. And the way that Ktos understands the Rambam and the way that the simple reading of the Mechaber is that even by metaltalin you need to have a chazaka. I'm sorry, you need to have a taina. Why did he never have a taina? Because of our chart, right? Our chart was very good, I said. Right? Until we got to the last point. Right? But they're going to say, no! The only issue, right, the only thing that is accomplished with the only difference between metalton and karka is one type of raya I need. Do I need 3 years to be a raya, or is it enough to be holding on to it? But to not be, if I can't explain how this got into my hands, there's no worse regis than that. Even if it's a movable item. And we don't know for sure that we know maybe it once belonged to the Marakama. But if I can't explain to you how it got into my hand, that is a deficiency. And when it comes to a katan, says the Ktsos, even if he can't explain it, since halachically it's not a taina, the tfisa, the raya of the katan, is not a raya. It's not a raya. Yeah.
The Ktsos is learning from the raya, from the fact that in the Rambam he says that achila is not a good raya for tana.
He's learning that achila is not a good raya for ketanin by karka because they don't have taina. That explanation is given by the Rambam. You're right. Without that explanation, we could explain this completely differently. But the Rambam writes that the chisaron, what's missing in the katan, is that he has no taina. And therefore, his raya is not a raya because nothing starts. Again, what the Rambam is saying completely supports everything we've been saying for the last 2 days. Nothing starts without a taina. You need to explain, how did this get into my hands? I don't need Aiden to explain it, but I need to do that. Oh, but a katan, who has no taina, because he's not a bar taina, he does not, his raya is not a raya at all, because again, what does that mean? Basically what he's saying is the tfisa of a katan does not reflect ownership. Does not reflect ownership just because of who the katan is. Then, the last one that the Ktsos makes was the point that you were making before, so let's just see that. Miu, but, ba betainas aviv. What if he came with the time? It belonged to my father. I don't know how it got here. I don't know the story. Afilu das abos nezu mahani, hainu mishun nechesh gadon la b'nei mechaninu. Let's do that, sorry, for a second. Mashen game b'metaltlin, kosha yu eitz alvinan ta'anin lutanase davua. That would be okay. Because in general, we'll see this elsewhere, the taina of being a yoresh is a valid taina. I just say, I have no idea how my father got it from you, but I know that it was my father's, that is a taina. It still needs a cheskes gimel to be supported, but that would qualify as a taina because I'm explaining why I don't know. Right? I can either explain how did it get here, or I explain why am I here without knowing why I am here. But if it didn't come as a Yerusha, and I am here, and I can't explain why I'm here, That's a problem. That is a chisaron. So again, it seems to be maybe a machlokas rishon, and it's certainly a machlok, right? But well, whether metaltalin requires a taina or not. Lechora to machlokas rishonim. Certainly, the Ktsos understood it as a machlokas rishonim. There is a possibility, maybe I'm not sure. But maybe you could be mechalik. Maybe you could be mechalik between a katan and a gadol. Right? All that the Rambam said was that the tfisa of the katan is not a katan because the katan doesn't have a taina. Maybe the requirement of taina on metaltalin is davka on a katan. Right? Because the tfisa of a katan, maybe what I'm trying to explain is that maybe we could suggest that there is not a machlok that we've shown him here. Maybe the Ktsos, or at least the Rambam, would agree that if it came to a gadol and metaltalin, he would not need a taina. Right? Maybe only a katan requires a taina, because the katan holding onto it doesn't show anything. We have no, you know, Tom, they grab things. We don't know how a katan. The tfisa of a katan is more lacking, and therefore it needs to be supported by a taina. Since he can't have a taina, he loses it. But maybe by a gadol, the tfisa of a gadol, in and of itself, reflects greater ownership than the tfisa of a katan. And therefore the Tfisa of a Gadol maybe doesn't require a Taina, and maybe that's the way of putting the Rishonim together. Rabbi Yonah was talking about a Gadol. When it comes to a Gadol, his Metaltalin doesn't require any Taina. But when it comes to a Katan, again, since his hands are all over the place, his Tfisa is not as meaningful. The only way for that Tfisa to work is if it can be supported by a Taina. And if he can't make a Taina, then he's stuck. Then he's nothing that he could do. So again, maybe that would be a chiluk between the katan and the gadol. Yeah.
Then why not just say that the reason that the tefillah doesn't work is because the tefillah doesn't work for katan? I mean, the Rambam, the Dafka says the issue is not
the Rambam's talking about karka. Okay. The ketzos is extending. Right, the Rambam is talking about a chesed on karka. The ketzos is extending that within svar. I get the svar. Again, yeah. You might say that I'm crazy, but I was just saying if maybe there's a way. Maybe there's a way to bridge the gap in the Rishon. If it's not, it's okay too. It's fine. And but at least it's important to understand that the thinking exists. Okay, so let's stop here. Go ahead. Excellent. Tomorrow again, Mirza Shem will pick up with the Mecha, the question of the Mecha, Shel Befanav, which will get us thinking a lot about what the role of the Mecha is. We've been talking about it, but we haven't really explained what exactly it's all about.